The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Welcome to Discover Extra Edition. Stories from Discover, the magazine of science, that we didn't have time for in our regular monthly podcast. I'm your host, Steve Lord, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Episode number 7 of Discover Extra Edition contains one story on the human evolution timeline and 22 stories of 1 to 1.5 minutes each on a variety of topics from trees to dinosaurs to Antarctica. Human Evolution Timeline Topples. For decades, school children across the globe were taught our origin story went something like this. An archaic form of Homo sapiens evolved around 200,000 years ago in Africa. By about 100,000 years ago, the population had become anatomically modern humans, who, around 50,000 years ago, headed across Eurasia and met up with our distant cousins, the Neanderthals, and the closely related Denisovans, not known to science until 2010. Like a game of Jenga, however, researchers have recently been removing bricks and destabilizing that towering timeline. In 2017, a few more bricks came out, and the conventional chronology of our origins finally toppled. What we're left with? Homo sapiens have been around at least 100,000 years longer than we thought, and left Africa much earlier than we believed. And whenever they ran into other hominin populations, well, sex happens, says Eric Trinkus, a paleoanthropologist at Washington University in St. Louis. You can draw lines of different lineages on maps, but real populations don't behave that way. Trinkus stresses that revising the timeline for human evolution isn't the same as starting from scratch. The differences are of refinement, not in the basic story. 1. The Big Wow. In the mid-20th century, during mining operations at Jebel Irhoud in Morocco, workers turned up some old, possibly human bones. The haphazard find made dating them confidently all but impossible. Paleoanthropologist Jean-Jacques Hublin and colleagues returned to the site recently to excavate an area undisturbed by mining. They hoped to find material that could help them date the earlier discovery. Instead, they found what Hublin calls a big wow, the partial remains of at least 5 humans, plus tools and other artifacts, most of which are about 300,000 years old. The archaic Homo sapiens' facial features and brain volume are essentially modern, says Hublin, though their skull's shape is more primitive. During a June news conference, shortly before the study was published in Nature, Hublin noted it's unlikely the Jebel Irhoud individuals, the oldest known Homo sapiens fossils by about 100,000 years, are our direct ancestors. We are not claiming that Morocco became the cradle of modern humankind, Hublin says. We think early forms of humans were present all over Africa. And in the journal Science in late September, a separate team offered additional evidence of an earlier start date for our species. By sequencing the ancient DNA of 7 individuals from southern Africa, the researchers determined modern Homo sapiens emerged up to 350,000 years ago. 2. It takes 2. For years, paleogenetic studies have been turning up hints that our species interbred with Neanderthals and Denisovans between 40,000 and 100,000 years ago. A Nature Communications study published in July, however, found evidence the hookups began much earlier, roughly 220,000 to 470,000 years ago. Researchers extracted maternally inherited mitochondrial DNA, mtDNA, from a 100,000-year-old Neanderthal bone found in a German cave in the 1930s. The mtDNA is from a Homo sapiens female who evolved in Africa, our homeland, and mated with a European-evolved Neanderthal at least 220,000 years ago. But the woman, who passed her mtDNA down through the Neanderthal lineage, was not necessarily an anatomically modern human, notes paleogeneticist Johannes Kraus, co-author of the study. Although he agrees recent evidence pushes back the start date for our species, Kraus said the definition of a modern Homo sapiens remains subjective. The process of humans evolving into anatomically modern humans started 700,000 years ago, says Kraus. That's when genomic models estimate the last common ancestor of Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, and Denisovans existed. It's a gradual change. They didn't pop out of a box. 3. Eastern mashup. A pair of partial hominin skulls excavated in Yuchang, China, are unlike any others. Dated to more than 100,000 years old, the crania have a unique blend of features. The internal ear structure and back of skull depression, seen only in Neanderthals, which have never been found east of Siberia, a low and broad shape consistent with earlier East Asian hominins, and an enlarged brain case, similar to other late archaic and modern humans. Trinkus and colleagues, describing the partial skulls in March in Science, won't speculate on whether they belong to Homo sapiens transitioning from archaic to modern, the elusive Denisovans, or an as-yet-unidentified hominin species. People have been thinking in terms of lineages and discrete groups, Trinkus says. These are not separate entities. There's a unity to humankind now, and there was then. 4. Turning up down under. The conventional timeline placed our species in Australia at no earlier than about 47,000 years ago, despite some archaeological and genomic research hinting at a much earlier arrival date. In July, however, a team reported in Nature that thousands of artifacts from a northern Australia site were about 65,000 years old. And in August, also in Nature, a separate team reported that they believe teeth found in an Indonesian cave belonged to anatomically modern humans who had occupied the site 63,000 to 73,000 years ago. That puts modern humans far from home, tens of millennia before the now outdated human evolution and migration timeline had us even leaving Africa. 5. Fighting politics with math. In March, Pennsylvania mathematicians proved a theorem that rigorously demonstrates congressional districts in their home state are gerrymandered, drawn to give one political party an unfair advantage. Their work, which appeared in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, supports an ongoing lawsuit demanding better boundaries and joins other mathematical efforts to analyze districting fairness. The method tests districts by applying small random changes to their boundaries, say, including that neighborhood instead of this one. Such tweaks shouldn't consistently change election outcomes, assuming the boundaries started out fair. But if the changes lead to alternate outcomes, the mathematicians proved it meant the district was biased from the beginning. In Pennsylvania's case, in favor of the Republican Party. It's important to have rigorous ways of demonstrating gerrymandering, so the decision is not just another partisan debate, says Wesley Pegden, a mathematician at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh who worked on the theorem. The new work may also be useful in other scientific areas that involve random sampling, like how proteins fold and statistical physics. 5. Sea level rise, slow but inexorable. Even short-lived atmospheric greenhouse gases, like methane, leave an imprint in the oceans that can last centuries, according to a paper published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences last January. A hotter atmosphere warms the oceans, which expand, leading to sea level rise. This can be a slow process. Gases can take anywhere from a decade, methane, to 1,000 years, carbon dioxide, to transfer their energy to the oceans. And once gases arrive there, it's hard to get them out. The takeaway is that if humanity stopped cranking out greenhouse gases immediately, sea levels would still rise for centuries before the heat dissipates through Earth's atmosphere and into space, says study co-author Susan Solomon, an atmospheric scientist at MIT. The study brings grim news for low-lying islands like Tuvalu in the South Pacific and coastal cities worldwide. It's not a tsunami, Solomon says of the watermark rise. It's very, very slow, but it's inexorable. Antarctica's fiery underbelly. Much of Antarctica is covered with a thick sheet of ice that obscures what's below, and it's tempting to consider the continent as geologically frozen as its landscape. But in the land of snow and ice, there's a hidden fire. Reporting their findings in May, geology student Max van de Wijk de Vries and his colleagues at the University of Edinburgh used radar surveys to reveal 91 previously unidentified volcanoes in the West Antarctic Rift System, an area where plate tectonics are tearing the continent apart. Some seem to have erupted in the last few millennia. Scientists aren't sure how or even if the volcanoes will affect the overlaying ice sheet. Another pressing question, will eruptions increase in Antarctica as the ice thins, similar to Iceland after the last ice age? What's clear is that no other place on Earth contains as many subglacial volcanoes, and that's a real wild card for researchers attempting to model the ice sheet's retreat. Age is just a number of neural stem cells. Scientists may have identified how to slow or even reverse our biological clock. Adult neural stem cells in the hypothalamus, a brain region that regulates hunger, sleep, body temperature, and other activities, appear to orchestrate the body's aging process, they found. Research on lab animals has shown that the number of hypothalamus stem cells diminishes with age. To determine if this cell loss was related to aging, scientists killed off hypothalamic stem cells in middle-aged mice, according to a study that appeared in July in Nature. The mice showed clear signs of aging, such as loss of memory, endurance, and coordination. The scientists also discovered that the stem cells release tiny packets of microRNA, bits of genetic material that control how genes function. They injected the mRNA into the middle-aged mice that were missing hypothalamic stem cells and into healthy mice of similar age. In both groups, the treatment slowed aging. The findings could lead to better methods of treating age-related maladies and prolonging life, says lead author Dong Sheng Kai of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. But it will take some time to translate this into humans, he says. Sifting soil for human ancestors. Scientists have found ancient human DNA in caves, no bones or teeth required. Instead, an international team located genetic traces of Neanderthals and Denisovans, both distant hominin cousins of ours who died off about 40,000 years ago, just from dirt. Researchers have been able to identify animal and plant DNA from soil samples since 2003, but this is the first time they've extracted hominin DNA. It was no easy feat. The group scooped soil samples from 7 European and Russian caves known to have housed prehistoric peoples. Using the latest DNA filtering techniques, researchers shifted through trillions of genetic fragments from plants, other mammals, and modern humans to pinpoint the ancient hominin sequences. While they found Neanderthal genetic traces at several of the sites, Denisovan DNA turned up only in a Siberian cave. The work, published in Science in April, opens up new possibilities for researchers, says Vivian Slan, a geneticist at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany, and a co-author of the study. Now, she says, they could unearth evidence of prehistoric occupation at sites where no human fossils or tools have been found, expanding our knowledge of hominin history. Sperm counts plummet. Sperm counts have plunged 52.9% in the past 39 years in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, according to a July analysis in Human Reproduction Update. This trend is worrisome because, besides affecting male fertility, men with lower sperm counts also have higher rates of heart disease and cancer. They also die at younger ages. The analysis involved 185 studies of 42,935 men conducted between 1973 and 2011. Men in other parts of the world weren't included because solid data isn't available. Environmental factors are the likely culprits. For example, men with low sperm counts might have been exposed in utero to cigarette smoke or chemicals that disrupt crucial hormone levels. This is the canary in the coal mine, says Shanna H. Swan, a study co-author at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, because it has large economic implications about men's fertility and health. Octopuses can stray from their DNA. If our DNA is a blueprint, then RNA is the messenger, ferrying instructions for biological tasks to our cells. If you're an octopus, though, that message can change en route. An international research team found that octopuses can edit their RNA, albeit unintentionally. This ability may offer some of the same adaptive benefits as natural selection, but on an individual level. Writing in April in the journal Cell, the scientists said this ability allows octopuses to reinterpret their DNA in a way that could grant them new traits, like better cold adaptation. There were also hints that these RNA changes made the animals smarter. Octopuses are infamously clever, and such RNA editing could help explain why. Adding weight to this theory is evidence that nautiluses, a closely related shelled cephalopod known to be less intelligent, don't possess the same editing capabilities. There is a trade-off, however. To preserve their RNA editing powers, octopus genomes are much more resistant to mutation, the driving force of natural selection. This means that while individuals can make relatively sweeping changes to their bodies, the species as a whole doesn't change much from generation to generation. The fastest fluid. Protons and neutrons are familiar as tiny solids, but particle accelerators can melt them into what's called a quark gluon plasma, or QGP. Studies of the superhot material, first done about a decade ago, have revealed QGP is the hottest, least viscous known liquid, and is capable of forming the smallest drop of liquid ever seen. And now, it's also the fastest known spinning liquid, as reported in August by the STAR collaboration in Nature. In a single second, the authors, an international collaboration working with Brookhaven National Laboratory's STAR detector, saw the QGP goop rotate a mind-boggling sextillion times, a billion trillions. Getting even small pieces of new information from these experiments is always a challenge. So an experimental measurement of an entirely new feature like rotation speed is huge. QGP production is sometimes referred to as tiny Big Bangs, because shortly after the Big Bang, the universe consisted of QGP. These experiments help us understand the fundamental properties of our universe and its origins, and lead the way toward testing emerging theories. A titan for the record books. This past summer, paleontologists announced a new contender for largest dinosaur, Patagotitan maiorum. The 100 million-year-old giant was a type of plant-eating, long-necked sauropod called a titanosaur, and is likely the largest creature known to have walked on the planet. An international group of researchers described the animal in August in the journal Biological Sciences, after analyzing the partial skeletons of six individuals unearthed in Argentina in 2014. They estimate the animal grew up to 122 feet long and weighed roughly 69 tons, about the same as 10 full-grown male African elephants, today's largest land animal. Phil Mannion, a sauropod expert at Imperial College London who was not involved with the study, praises the find. Whether or not Patagotitan is the largest known dinosaur, he says, it fills an important gap in our understanding of these giant animals. Genetic roots of PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, affects about 24.4 million Americans annually. Now, researchers have detailed evidence that a person's risk of developing the disorder, which results from experiencing traumatic events like rape and war, is inherited. The work, published in Molecular Psychiatry in April, pooled results from 11 studies to analyze data from over 20,000 volunteers. Previous research suggested genetics might play a role in developing PTSD. But according to senior author and Harvard epidemiologist Karenston Conan, those findings only inferred inheritability. For this work, Conan and her team examined the entire genomes of those earlier studies' participants. They found evidence that not only can PTSD be passed down through generations, but also that some related genes are linked to schizophrenia. They found further that European-American women are about 30% more likely than men overall to be genetically susceptible to developing PTSD. Knowing how the condition works on a genetic level could help experts identify those most at risk and tailor treatments to help them work through their trauma. Asteroid hits reverse. In March, astronomers in Canada identified an asteroid unlike any other. It travels the same orbit as Jupiter, but circles the Sun in the opposite direction. Only a few other objects in the solar system are known to have such a wrong-way orbit, and asteroid 2015 BZ-509 alone shares its path with a planet. Astronomer Paul Weigert from the University of Western Ontario and colleagues tracked the object during late 2015. They found that its gravitational relationship with the Sun and Jupiter keeps it in a safe, stable orbit. And it's likely been there for around 1 million years, they reported in Nature. The questions now include figuring out if 2015 BZ-509 is more like an icy comet or a rocky asteroid, and how it ended up going the wrong way in the first place. Those will help answer what Weigert calls the big question. The first asteroid discovered turned out to be one of millions, he says. Is BZ-509 unique, or just the tip of an iceberg? I can see what you've seen. Back in the 19th century, a French criminologist named Alphonse Bertillon invented a technique for recognizing repeat offenders by precisely measuring convicts' facial features. Fingerprinting eventually supplanted his system. But new research done on macaques shows primate brains can naturally keep track of faces thanks to a kind of bertinage. The discovery, reported in June in Cell, completely breaks with the standard model of facial recognition, which claims each face you recognize is represented by a single neuron, one cell firing when you see your grandmother or another when you see Jennifer Aniston. Instead, Caltech neuroscientist Doris Tsao shows that individual primate neurons respond to specific facial qualities, such as bone shape and skin color. Inserting electrodes into the brains of two macaques, Tsao worked out which aspects of a face were mapped onto each neuron. Then she validated her findings by showing the macaques additional faces, and accurately reconstructing what they'd seen using only neural recordings. Sow predicts that with advances in human brain monitoring technology, the ability to decode faces by neuronal activity can be used in forensics, such as reading out a criminal's face from a witness's mind. Are you watching, Monsieur Bertillon? Weighing a white dwarf. 3 years ago, astronomers put a white dwarf on a scale and watched the needle move. Not literally, says Kailash Sahu, an astronomer at the Space Telescope Science Institute, but their pioneering method of weighing the star really is that straightforward. Their findings appeared in Science in June. When the dwarf, named Stein 2051b, passed in front of another star from Earth's perspective, Sahu's team followed the position of the background star. As general relativity predicts, light from the background star bent around the white dwarf, distorted by its gravitational field. Like the deflection of a scale's needle, the deflection of the background star's light let astronomers calculate the white dwarf's mass, roughly 67.5% of the mass of our Sun. The movement was minute, but the results were stunning. I almost fell off my chair, says Sahu. The white dwarf's mass was exactly in line with predictions made in a theory developed by Subramanian Chandrasekhar in 1930. Previous attempts to confirm the theory had relied on shaky assumptions, but Sahu's group demonstrated Chandrasekhar's accuracy while proving their new method really works. Drug treats aggressive form of MS. More than 400,000 Americans are afflicted with multiple sclerosis, an autoimmune disease that disrupts the brain's neural signals to the body. In March, the Food and Drug Administration approved the drug ocrelizumab to treat not only the milder form of MS, but also the primary progressive form, for which there was no treatment until now. In both types of MS, immune system cells attack and strip away myelin, the fatty protective sheathing that insulates nerve cells. This interferes with nerve signals, causing muscle weakness, lack of coordination, blurry vision, bowel and bladder disorders, and foggy thinking. The new-to-market drug takes a novel approach. Whereas traditional MS medications target the immune system's T cells, ocrelizumab focuses on destroying the system's B cells, which fuel the brain inflammation that causes the disease to worsen. During clinical trials, MRI scans showed that ocrelizumab reduces new brain inflammation in the milder relapse-remitting form and slows deterioration in the progressive and most aggressive form. Along the way, experiments have resulted in important information on how MS attacks the body, says Stephen Hauser, a neurobiologist at the University of California, San Francisco, whose lab spent decades determining the critical role B cells play in the disease. Amber preserves tick's last supper. An amber-trapped tick found in the Dominican Republic contains the oldest mammalian red blood cells ever discovered. According to a study in the Journal of Medical Entomology in March, a grooming primate likely punctured the tick's shell, releasing blood and betraying its presence to scientists millions of years later, and then flicked the critter into tree sap, where it was preserved for some 15 million to 45 million years. The cells contain a parasite related to a modern species commonly carried by ticks, shedding light on the entwined history of our ancestors and the organisms that preyed on them. A quick start to long-lasting memories. Neuroscientists thought long-term memories took weeks to form, but MIT researchers have discovered those memories can take hold in the brain much sooner. The team used a technique called optogenetics, in which light-responsive proteins are genetically inserted into brain cells, allowing researchers to activate them with lasers to find out what they do. The group trained mice with these engineered neurons to fear an electric shock and, with the blast of laser light, could spot the brain cells involved in that painful memory. The team identified memory cells in the neocortex, the brain's outer layers, which house long-term memories, within just a day of the shock. When the scientists stimulated those cells with light, the critters cowered in fear, showing that the long-term memories were already there. Along with furthering our understanding of memory, the results, published in April in Science, also may help explain what happens during dementia. "We are nothing but memory," says senior author Susumu Tanagawa. "So we want to understand how it works, and we want to understand why it goes wrong." Ocean test plots reveal effects of warming. To study global warming, one group of Antarctic researchers ditched fancy models in favor of a more hands-on approach. They heated the ocean themselves. British Antarctic Survey scientists placed panels equipped with heating elements on the seabed in Antarctica and warmed the devices by either 1 or 2 degrees Celsius. When the researchers checked back a few months later, the effects were starkly apparent. A group of small filter-feeding invertebrates had taken over on top of the heated panels, completely shifting the balance of the tiny test ecosystem. The scientists' work, published in September in Current Biology, reveals the impact of the warming predicted to occur over the next 50 years. With such a loss of diversity comes increased sensitivity to disease and other potential threats, likely robbing ecosystems of their resilience. Stuck on you. To protect themselves against predatory birds, some slugs have evolved to produce a defensive mucus that secures them to virtually any surface. Strong, stretchy, and effective, even in wet environments, the adhesive could be useful for surgeons struggling to plug and patch patients' slippery organs, if only the substance could be efficiently manufactured. Harvard University bioengineer Jianyu Li has now mimicked this slug mucus in the lab, making synthetic glues using extracts from shrimp shell and algae. "Our adhesives are engineered to copy the essential biochemical and microstructural characteristics of the mucus," he says. Like defensive mucus, Li's concoctions can bond surfaces chemically, physically, and electrostatically. Initial tests, reported in July in Science, have demonstrated effective adhesion to animal hearts and livers, as well as cartilage and arteries. The slime that saves slugs' lives could do the same for humans. Mathematicians see within. Jules Verne might be disappointed to learn that we still can't journey to the center of the Earth. But those curious about what's down there, metal or monsters, can take heart from a mathematical proof nearly 4 decades in the making. The proof, posted online in February, demonstrates that an object's insides can be mapped exactly without cutting it open. All you need to know is how quickly waves travel between every possible pair of points on the object's surface. Strictly speaking, the proof applies only to certain mathematically perfect objects. "The Earth is far from mathematical idealization," says Stanford University's Andras Fassi, one of 3 mathematicians behind the proof. Still, he hopes their work will lead to better tools for geology, which already investigates Earth's interior by studying seismic waves and medical imaging, which infers the internal details of bodies from electromagnetic waves like X-rays. Our neighbor, Homo naledi. The 2013 discovery of Homo naledi in South Africa's Rising Star cave system added a new member to our family tree. But researchers initially were unable to date the small-brained hominin. In papers published in the journal eLife in May, anthropologist Lee Berger and his team finally placed the remains between 236,000 and 335,000 years old, younger than many expected, based on the hominin's primitive features. The relatively recent date suggests H. naledi might have overlapped with archaic Homo sapiens in the region. Berger's team also announced more H. naledi specimens, including Neo, the most complete individual found so far, from an entirely new chamber in the cave system. The story of H. naledi is far from over. Go west, young tree! American trees are marching west, and that's a surprise to ecologists. As the climate warms, researchers expected many plant species would move farther north and to higher elevations as they chase cooler climes. But more trees have actually expanded west over recent decades, according to a May study in Science Advances. A team led by scientists at Purdue University examined about 30 years of U.S. Forest Service data covering 86 types of trees in the eastern United States. In addition to the general westward migration, their study showed the trees aren't moving in unison. While leafy deciduous trees such as oak and maple were more likely to go west, evergreen trees more often pushed north. The researchers say their findings indicate that moisture currently plays a more important role than temperature for many species. The trees are simply following the rain. Cellular Atlas paves way for precision medicine. The Human Genome Project, the audacious map of our genetic code that was completed 15 years ago, was inspired by another genetic map, that of a tiny worm. Scientists are hoping a new catalog of gene expression in each cell of the same worm, Caenorhabditis elegans, will herald the same kind of cellular atlas for humans. To create the catalog, scientists extracted cells from thousands of C. elegans larvae and chemically processed them in a way that assigned a unique barcode to each cell. The method revealed which genes were turned on or off. When the scientists categorized the cells by this so-called gene expression, they spotted 27 different types, including muscle, skin, and intestine cells, the team reported in Science in August. This cellular atlas allows researchers to look for patterns. A similar human atlas, already in progress, could spot signatures linked to disease, enabling medical treatments tailored to individual patients. That wraps up this episode of Discover Extra Edition. I hope you've enjoyed it and will tune in to another podcast soon. Until then, expand your mind. I'm Steve Lord, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.